Turn to the book of Jude. Go to Revelation and take a left. Sure love my computer. I can just type that type out as big as I want it. I don't have to bend down and look at my little Bible. That's where I got my scripture. It's the Word of God, even if it's on typing paper, isn't it? That's what I thought. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for the gifts of the books, the Bible in our hands, and so many helps. We thank you for all the information that's right at our fingertips. We thank you, Lord, that you've let us live in such a free country. We have been blessed above many people in the world, and with opportunity. Lord, you've been merciful to us. You've saved our souls and changed our lives, and we thank you for that. And we do pray for anyone in the sound of my voice who is not saved, that they might come to know you as Lord and Savior. But Lord, I pray you'd help me to deliver the message you want given. You'd touch hearts and lives with it. You'd give me a freedom and ease that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude is a little book, but he speaks great things. Jude is a little book, but he deals with some harsh things. And here's one of them. Woe unto them. Now, he's talking about people in the church. I don't know, you know, when I first got saved, I thought everybody in the church had to be good. When I got saved, I thought, boy, I'm getting in with all these great people. And when I heard them gossip and fight and do all sorts of things, I said, oh, something wrong. But really, you know what the church is made up of? People like you. The church is made up of people like you. That's why it's not as good as it ought to be. Isn't that right? Well, he's talking about some people at the church that are in the church. They're with the body of Christ. And he calls them spots upon their feasts and other things. And he's given an explanation about it. And he said, woe unto them. Now, boy, when God says that to you, you're in trouble. Woe unto them. They've gone in the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. You know something? You don't mess with God. And if you're in his house, you better pay attention to who's the boss when it's here, and it's God. And God wants something out of your life. He wants you to repent of sins. He wants you to confess what you're doing wrong. He wants you to break off that fornication, break off that drunkenness, break off your pride and your stupidity and your covetousness, and seek his face. He can make a change. Praise God. In that church that had all the human frailties, there were some wonderful, godly people. Some people had been changed, and I consider it one of the blessings of my life that I got to know them. And that's the way it is everywhere. You ought to want to be one of them. It ought to be a goal in your life that I want to be one of the good guys. Wear the white hat. Not one of the crooks, not the one that can get away with everything, but one who does the will of God from the heart and has the blessings of God upon their life. And when we get several of them in a church even this size, they're going to bless the church. You can be a blessing, or bless your heart, you can be a stumbling block. Now, the first thing he said there was, they've gone in the way of Cain. What do you know about Cain? Look back at Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 and 8. What about old Cain? First son born. I know Adam and Eve were proud of him. I know they doted on him. I mean, I love my kids. What a thing I'd have missed, being single, not having my children and my 30 grandchildren and two to come. I know they loved Cain. And I know Cain probably, in a lot of ways, he was a good, hard-working, strong man. Look what he said in verse 5, Genesis 4, 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, talking about God. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. That means his face turned angry. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, this is verse 8, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. These are grown men. They've been around a long time. They've heard the story about God and the Garden of Eden and sin and all things like that. And they come to bring a sacrifice. I don't know what the special occasion of the sacrifice was, but both Cain and Abel at the same time came for a sacrifice. Cain, who was a farmer, he brought the very best out of his field. He didn't bring sloppy stuff or wormy stuff up there to give to the Lord. He brought the very best out of his field, and he offered it to the Lord. Abel, on the other hand, was a shepherd. And what he brought was a lamb. He brought a blood sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, it may not seem much to you, but there in the very beginning of the Bible is the understanding of salvation. Cain did his best and was rejected. Abel offered a substitute and was received. And that's the way it is today. You can do the very best you can. You can offer God all sorts of things. You can be the best worker in the church. You can be the finest cook in town. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have a substitute for you, you're going to die and go to hell. God will not accept your best because your best is still flawed. All of our best is flawed. Man, I get through preaching sometimes and think, man, I need to repent. I'm doing the best I can. I want to convince people. I want to make it so plain. I want to read it and understand it, and I want to explain it to where you understand it. And then I want to apply it. I want to be a good preacher. I want to be someone that does the will of God and has God can use somehow to bring a blessing. But sometimes I get through preaching, and I think about what I said and what I didn't say. What I forgot to say, what I said wrong. Oh yeah, I've said the wrong name. Of course, I've called my kids the wrong name too. Come here, Billy, Eddie, Linda, whoever you are, come here. We're all failures. We all make mistakes. We all have weaknesses. Well, here's Cain. What's his problem? He's mad. God has rejected his sacrifice and accepted Abel's sacrifice. Well, this infuriated Cain. He's mad. Did he love his brother? I'll bet he did. Hey, they didn't have a lot of companionship in those days. They had to get along, didn't they? Around people. I bet they got along pretty good most of the time. You ever get in an argument with somebody? I hear about it on the news every week. Two brothers get in a fight. One of them stabs the other. One's dead and the other one goes to jail. Boy, what a consequence. What a consequence in life. He said, why is thou countenance fallen? That's what the Lord said to him. Why are you mad? What's got you upset? You ever been mad at God? You ever been mad at the preacher? You ever been mad at your husband or your wife? Of course. We're just that way. We have that kind of a temper about us. And Cain, his countenance, that's his face, has fallen. He's not happy. He's not a happy camper anymore. He's mad. He's upset. Now, the Bible doesn't exactly tell us what happened, but in my imagination, they got to talking it over. Cain says, how come you got accepted and I got rejected? favoritism or something else, some other selfish, jealous thing. And they got into an argument. And Abel is saying, look, man, you need blood. You need blood. If you don't have blood, your sacrifice is worthless. Yeah, but I worked harder than you. I brought a better sacrifice. I brought more than you brought. It doesn't matter. You need the blood. And he killed him. Over in Hebrews it says, Abel's blood cried from the ground unto God. You know something? God pays attention to everything you do and everything that's going on. He doesn't miss anything. Cain talked with Abel his brother, verse 8, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. In 1 John 3:12, it also mentions Cain. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You want to know what the interpretation of this is? Well, that there's your New Testament interpretation of Genesis chapter 4. Cain had sin. He was wicked. Abel was a righteous man. There was a difference in their personalities. There was a difference in their convictions. There was a difference in the way they lived their lives. How about the way of Cain? You walk around angry all the time. You mad and upset at somebody today? Husband and wife, you fussed before you ever got up to come to church today? Or you fussed because somebody wasn't ready in time? Is it the wife or the husband that's always 10 minutes late? I don't know. But one or the other of them is. And if they're riding the same car, they got to arrive at the same time, no matter who was ready. His own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You know, there is a difference in what you do, and there is a difference in how you live. If you live the standard of this life around us, your friends, maybe your family, your television, your stars, you're not going to live for God. Guarantee that. They're not living for God. They don't want what God wants. In fact, they reject God. They reject the Word of God. I'm not too sure, but that's what Cain did. I don't know how Abel knew to bring a blood sacrifice other than hearing from his father, maybe, that God slew these animals to give us coats of skins. That blood was shed in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned. Maybe that's where they got it. Maybe there was a message from God. Maybe God visited these boys. I don't know. But here's what I know. He rejected the Word of God. He rejected the will of God. How about you? Have you ever come to the conviction that the Bible's right? I came to that conviction a long time ago, and I haven't changed it. I just keep reading this book, and you know, it just keeps looking right. I hear these people, they got all sorts of excuses and problems and problem texts and stuff, and it goes beyond me. I've studied them all out. Yeah, they're problems to me. Do I understand everything in the Bible? No, I got some things I really don't understand. But you know what? I've come to a place I'm not even worried about it anymore. I don't even think I'll ask God about it when I get to heaven. You know, he said that when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about it. I don't think you're going to care. You know what I come to do, though? I come to believe the book was right and true, and that if I understand it, I had the truth. And that's what I rely on. I'm headed for the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm betting, I'm gambling my life that this book's true. You need to go by the Word of God, not your opinion, not your emotions, not what works. You need to go by the Word of God. And Cain would not have been in the situation he was in if he had just listened to God. You won't be in the situation you're in sometimes if you just listen to God's Word. Don't make your choices on your emotions. I feel this. I feel that. Hey, my emotions change by the hour. I don't have to worry about days. My emotions don't stay the same in one day. Shoot, I can be as mad at Verlene and one day I'm just as happy with her, okay? I just love her so much I could eat her up. And the next day I'm so mad at her I wish I had. And you're the same way, you know that? Our emotions change. We don't make decisions on emotions, we make decisions on the Word of God. Get yourself a standard that does not change. Get yourself a purpose in life. I want to please God with my life. And then repent every time you don't. He says the error of Balaam. Look at Numbers 22:4. The error of Balaam. Numbers 22:4. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. For they're too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. That's pretty good reputation. I mean, he had a reputation as a pretty good prophet. That's a good preacher. People you bless are blessed. The people you curse are cursed. Anybody around here want to volunteer for that job? Well, that's the job that Balaam had. Evidently, he knew the Lord because he sought the advice of the Lord. And when they first came to him and said, we're going to give you all so much money for just a short day's work. I want you to come curse somebody for me. Because I know that you, what your words give, they seem to be right, seem to be true. What you say happens. You curse somebody, they're cursed. If you bless somebody, they're blessed. And I need your help because this is a great big people. Do you know what? That's exactly what was going to happen. He was going to be destroyed. And God was going to take his land and give it to the Israelites, and it's still their land. At any rate, he goes to him, and Balaam goes to the Lord with him. Now, that's a good thing. You ought to spend some time in prayer before you make any decision. Amen? Amen? He goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, don't go. You ever go to the Lord, and he tells you, don't go? Oh, but Lord, I really want to. Lord, financially, that is absolutely a real good move. You ever taken a job and it turned out to be the wrong job you took? Oh, I've talked to some people like that. If I'd have just listened. I knew, I was told, but this looked like the better way to me. Balaam's a prophet of God. Evidently, he speaks the word of God fairly consistently. And these heathen kings come to him and say, we'll pay you so much money to come with us. God said, don't go. Well, he decided to go. And he gets on his donkey, his ass. And he's riding it. And as he's riding, an angel of the Lord sticks up before him, and he doesn't see. That's dangerous to walk into an angel of the Lord and you don't see him. And the donkey goes off the trail. And boy, he beats him and he goes off the trail. And then the donkey talks. See, you, some of you say, I can't witness. Well, if God can use a donkey, he could use you. He talked. He told him, there's an angel there, dummy. Don't you see? Can't you see that angel? He's going to slay me. And there God gives him another warning, but he let him go on. But he said, you say what I tell you to say. So he goes on. And he comes down there and he says, come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Well, he gets up there and they slay a bunch of animals. There's blood. There's sacrifices. Maybe seven sacrifices. I forget now how many sacrifices it was. And then he looks up to God and blesses Israel. And the king's mad. Hey, man, I brought you here. I paid you to curse them. I don't want you blessing them. He says, what the Lord tells me, that's what I got to do. But you see, there's a problem with Balaam. His problem is that he liked money. Is that a problem in here with any one of us? We know the Lord. We know the word of the Lord. Do we like money? All of us like money. I like money. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Be careful about money, because money will really catch you. And here's Balaam. He's willing to try to see how far he can go against the will of God and still be blessed. But can he go far enough to get the payment? Now that's a problem some of you have. You get snared by it. Month after month, year after year. You know you really shouldn't do certain things, or you really shouldn't take a certain job, or you really shouldn't be companions with some people. You better watch out who your companions are. You're not going to only influence them, they're going to influence you. Like the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. If you're in with that flock, they're going to consider you that bird. One of the biggest problems we have in the church today is covetousness. Wanting what we don't really need, wanting what we don't have. And our desire is for the money, not for the will of God. Our desire is not to please God or to win souls or to make the church a better place or to give God more glory. Our desire is, I need a better house. I need a better car. I need a better gun. I need better crystal. I need more books. My wife needs more books. I'm teasing, you know. I give her a hard time. Truth is, I wouldn't have made it this long if it hadn't been for her. If I'd have married some of you, you'd already killed me. Balaam's error is reward. Reward. You know, you might ought to look at Moses. Moses. He had all the reward of Egypt. And he said being with the people of God was more important than all the treasures in Egypt. Let me tell you something, being in the will of God in this little short life. Now to some of you, it looks like a real long life. When you look at it from my perspective, it's awful short. It's a vapor, pierced for a little while. It's a flower. It grows in the morning, cut down in the afternoon. We ought to be real careful what we're seeking. Because this is going to be over in nothing flat. I keep planning on dying and I keep waking up. I believe God must have something for me to do. Maybe to speak to you today. This might be the last sermon I ever preach. It may be the last one you ever hear. We don't really know. We live in that expectation of death. This life will end just like the grass grows up and is cut down. Or if you're in Texas this year, the grass doesn't even grow. In fact, at my house, the weeds aren't even growing. When you get a drought where no weeds grow, you're in trouble. And we're that way. The heir of Balaam is seeking reward. Now, is it wrong to want to do well for yourself? No, it's not. God says a man that doesn't take care of his own house is worse than an infidel. Bible says if you work, you'll have plenty. So that these bums and lazy people who don't want to work, yes, they're probably going to suffer. It's not wrong to do well by yourself. It's not wrong to have a good car or to live in a fine house. It's not wrong to want a better job that gives you more time or more freedom. It's not wrong to enjoy your family, all these things. But you better be careful, because reward is a very tempting thing. Do you ever get enough? I've never gotten enough. Never in my life. I'm 75 years old nearly, and I have never had enough. Always wanted more. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller, back when he was so rich and he was passing out, he'd go down the street throwing out dimes. A dime was a lot of money in that time. You could buy a lot with a dime. Get a great big candy bar and a great big soda pop, I know. Somebody asked him, he's one of the first, maybe the first billionaire. He said, how much is enough? He said, a little more. Richest man in the world, don't you have enough? No, I want a little more. That's the way we are. But you better be careful. Here was a prophet of God, got messed up because he wanted a little more. More than God wanted him to have. Well, look at 2 Peter 2:15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He's a prophet of God, but he loves the wages of unrighteousness. Be careful where your money comes from. Be careful where your pleasure comes from. You need to be living for God, not away from God or out of the will of God. Look at verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. How about the gainsaying of Korah? Well, look back at Numbers 16. We'll read a few verses out of Numbers 16. I want to read the first four verses and then go down to verse 28. Who is this Korah? Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And there rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. These are leaders. They're renowned men. They're rich men. They're responsible men. They're leaders among the Israelites. They're leaders of their tribes. They're leaders among the tribe of Levi. And there's two or three of them, Korah. It's all named after Korah. So he must have been the lead man. He gets all these guys together. They don't like Moses bossing them. You ever get mad at a preacher? You ever say that what he said doesn't matter? Well, you know, right today, there's a preacher being run off from some church because he preached the wrong message. That's happening. Average pastor lasts at a church about 3 years. Three here, three here, three here. It's a honeymoon, you know. Your new preacher comes in, you like his message, and it's a honeymoon period, and then he starts getting on your nerves, and you got to run him off and get another honeymoon. That's the way things are done. Well, not here. I started a place and I plan on ending it. I plan on being buried out of this place. But that has nothing to do with anything I'm trying to preach. You take too much upon you, seeing the whole congregation are holy. Well, couldn't we say that about the church? The whole congregation are holy. Why are you holy? You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, you're born again, you're in this church, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're God's holy people. Well, that's what Korah thought. He said, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. You're too bossy, preacher. You got to have your own way. I had a fellow tell me just last week or so, he left the place because the preacher was too bossy. I said, well, what was he telling you? Was he telling you anything that was right? Well, then maybe he has to stand up. And I tell you what, if you stand for the truth, you're going to have to stand against good people sometimes. Yeah, that's true. Not just the wicked people of the world. You're going to have to stand against your friends and your family and your supporters and good people. Well, Moses stood, bless his heart. He stood. And Korah got a whole bunch together, him and two of his buddies, and they got 250 princes. 250 princes of Israel. And they came up to him, and boy, we've got the numbers now. Wasn't a democracy, I wanted you to know that. They said, you take too much on yourself. We don't like you being so bossy. We're all holy. We're holy too. We're God's people too. We're leaders too. You take too much upon yourself. Just be real careful. When you decide to take a stand against somebody that supposedly is good or trying to do the will of God, be real careful. You just might step across a line. So, we're talking about the gainsaying of Korah. He's trying to outwit Moses. Now, Moses, when he heard it, he fell upon the ground because he knew what was going to happen. Look down at verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. You make a statement like that? Wow. That's a tremendous statement. Talk about faith. Talk about confidence. He knew what they did was absolute rebellion against the will of God. He knew what they did was out of their own pride and wickedness of their own heart. And he knew they were resisting God and His will and His word. And he fell on his face. They took him a contest. Everybody bring your own rod. All you princes bring your rod. It's a walking stick. And Aaron's is the only one that budded. None of the rest of those dead sticks brought anything to life. God said, I'll show you who's boss. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Look at verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, then they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as ye made an end of speaking, all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Wow. A few times I thought I'd like to call the earth to open up. A few times I thought I'd like to be like Elijah and call fire down from heaven, you know. They stood up against the wrong man. They stood against the wrong man. Be careful who you stand against. Be careful who you make friends. Be careful who you follow. And all of us follow some people. We're all following somebody. Just be real careful. In this case, Moses, with all the miracles he had performed, with all the power that he had, all the wisdom and his closeness to God, what was the error? Rebellion. I was born a rebel. I don't know about you. I came out of the womb a rebel. And I've been rebelling all my life. That's the problem. I have to fight it all the time. Be careful, Lindell. Keep your mouth shut. Be careful, Lindell. Don't lose your temper. Be careful, Lindell. I'm talking to myself all the time. My grandmother talked to herself, and some of her kids gave her a hard time about it. She said, "You're talking to yourself." She said, "Well, I want to speak with someone that can understand me. Smart enough to understand me." You need to talk to yourself. They decided to rebel against the man of God, and it came out that the man of God was a man of God. That being true, when they rebelled against God. Because he was just the messenger. Is there any rebellion in your heart today? Any rebellion against the church? Any rebellion against the pastors? Any rebellion against the Word of God? Well, it's in the church, believe me or not. It's in the church. Go to a Baptist business meeting sometime. I was a Baptist pastor 14 years. All those business meetings can get to be really fun. No. Can be a lot of trouble. We are rebellious people. We have rebellion in our hearts. We don't want to do what God tells us to do. We don't want to do what our parents tell us to do. We don't want to do what the preachers tell us to do. Amen, Brother Lindell. That's good preaching. Praise the Lord. Whether you like it or not. Turn to Proverbs 14:12. I'll try to finish this up. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I've gone where I thought it was right, and it was wrong. I've made decisions what I thought was right, and I was wrong. Proverbs, in all their wisdom that's there, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are lots of ways that this fits. There are a whole lot of ways in this world today that seem right to people, but they're the ways of death. They're not the ways of life, they're the ways of death. What about your way? What is your way? Is your way God's way? Is your way a blessed way? Is your way going to bring life? Or is it the way of Cain? Or the way of Balaam? Or the way of Korah? Or the way of you? You want God's way. You don't want your way. You really don't. I know you think you do, but boy, you really don't. What you want is the way of God. Look at John 14:4, 4, 5, and 6, and I'll close. John 14:4, "And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life." Notice these next two words, "No man." "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's just one way. It's Jesus. So there's a broad way, yeah. Most people are on the broad way, yeah. There's a narrow way. It's very narrow. Yeah, it's just one man. One man. One name. Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. Churches can't save you. Baptism and rites cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. Your mother and daddy cannot save you. The prayers of the preacher cannot save you. It takes Jesus. I'm the way. The way. It's not your righteousness. It's not your self-righteousness. It's not your rebellion because you think you're right. It's Jesus. He's the only perfect man that ever died for your sins. Your mother and daddy didn't do that. Your best friends didn't do that. No, Jesus did it. The only way to be saved is to have His righteousness placed onto your account. And that's what He says He'll do. If you will repent of your sins, you will recognize it's sin, call it sin, tell God it's sin, and that you're sorry for it. Even if you repeat it over and over and over again, you keep repenting and you keep telling God. You repent of your sins, you come to the place to think, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Lord, forgive me. Save me by Jesus. He'll do it. You say it's too simple. Oh, it is very simple. That's why it confuses all the mighty men. It's too simple. Oh, but bless your heart, it's so simple a little child can understand it. It's so simple a 21-year-old can understand it. It's so simple an 85-year-old can understand it. There is a substitution. You remember back over there, Cain and Abel? Cain brought the fruit of his work, the sweat of his brow, and he brought his best. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. There's an old song, and it's written on a phrase in the Old Testament. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We sung the song this morning. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was the Passover, and the Passover lamb in the land of Egypt were the firstborn of the Egyptians and unbelievers died. But the firstborn from every house that had blood on the doors lived. I want you to understand, when it comes down to the end of this life, if today is the day God just calls you home, you need the blood. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way to be saved. Amen. You can say, well, I'm a member of a church. Yeah, that's all right, but that won't save you. Well, I've been baptized. Well, I've been baptized three ways, to tell you the truth. But that won't save you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Trust Him. Christian friend, if you're not in the will of God, get in it. Today. If God has spoken to your heart about anything, whatever it is, don't walk out those doors with it still on your conscience or on your heart. Get on your knees, come down here, and ask God to forgive you. Or right where you are, ask God to forgive you. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not saved. And the Lord has pointed that out to you this day, get saved. Come on down here. We'll let somebody pray with you. We'll explain whatever you don't understand. Or you can sit right where you are, right in that chair, right there. God, the Holy Spirit, walks in and out of this room. Up and down each aisle. And where His word is preached, His power is there. You can say, Lord, forgive me a sinner. And He'll have mercy upon you. Let's sing, Pass Me Not. 235. This altar is open for whatever decision you may need to make.